Good evening. Before we get started, if I could ask everyone to kind of squeeze towards the center. It's a full mass, and we have a number of people standing in the back. Also, for the first part of the reading, if you would please be seated. And I know the people in the back aren't going to like this, but we do have some seats up front. The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
The Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were to take place in 2 days' time. So the chief priests and the scribes were seeking a way to arrest him by treachery and put him to death. They said, "Not during the festival, for fear that there may be a riot among the people." When he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of perfumed oil, costly genuine spikenard. She broke the alabaster jar and poured it on his head. There were some who were indignant. "Why has there been this waste of perfumed oil? It could have been sold for more than 300 days' wages, and the money given to the poor." They were infuriated with her. Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why did you make trouble for her? She has done a good thing for me. The poor you will always have with you, and whenever you wish, you can do good to them, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anticipated anointing my body for burial. Amen, I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed to the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her."
Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went off to the chief priests to hand him over to them. When they heard, they were pleased and promised to pay him money. Then he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when they sacrificed the Paschal Lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat Passover?" He sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you, carrying a jar of water. Follow him. Wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room, where I may eat Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. Make the preparations for us there." The disciples then went off, entered the city, and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared for Passover. When it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they reclined at the table and were eating, Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They became distressed and said to him, one by one, "Surely it is not I." He said to them, "One of the 12, the one who dips with me into the dish. For the Son of Man indeed goes, as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better if that man had never been born." While they were eating, he took bread. He broke it, said the blessing, and gave it to them and said, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, for which will be shed for many. Amen, I say to you, I shall not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it in the new kingdom of God." Then, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will have your faith shaken, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be dispersed.' But after I have been raised up, I shall go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even though all should have their faith shaken, mine will not be." Then Jesus said to him, "Amen, I say to you, his very night before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he vehemently replied, "Even though I should have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all spoke similarly. Then they came to a place named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be troubled and distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and keep watch." He advanced a little and fell onto the ground and prayed, that if it were possible, the hour might pass by him. He said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. Take this cup away from me, but not what I will, but what you will." When he returned, he found them asleep. He said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not undergo the test. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Withdrawing again, he prayed, saying the same thing. Then he returned once more and found them asleep, for they could not keep their eyes open and did not know what to answer him. He returned a third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is to be handed over to sinners. Get up and let us go. See, my betrayer is at hand."
Then, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, accompanied by a crowd with swords and clubs, who had come from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. His betrayer had arranged a signal with him, saying, "The man I shall kiss is the one. Arrest him and lead him away securely." He came and immediately went over to him and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. At this, they laid hands on him and arrested him. One of the bystanders drew his sword and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his ear. Jesus said to them in reply, "Have you come out against a robber with swords and clubs to seize me? Day after day I was with you, teaching in the temple area, yet you did not arrest me, but that the scriptures may be fulfilled." And they all let him off, and they all left him and fled. Now a young man following him, wearing nothing but a linen cloth about his body. They seized him, but he left the cloth behind and ran off naked. Kyrie Christe, Kyrie eleison. They led Jesus away to the high priest, and all the chief priests and elders and the scribes came together. Peter followed him at a distance into the high priest's courtyard, and he was seated with the guards, warming himself at the fire. The chief priests and the entire Sanhedrin kept trying to obtain testimony from Jesus in order to put him to death, but they found none. Many gave false witness, but none agreed. Some took the stand and testified falsely against him, alleging, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy the temple made with hands, and with 3 days I will build another, not made with hands.'" Even so, their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest rose before the assembly and questioned Jesus, saying, "Have you no answer? What are these men testifying against you?" But he was silent, and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him, and he said to him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" Then Jesus answered, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven." At that, the high priest tore his garments and said, "What further need have we of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" They all condemned him as deserving to die. Some began to spit on him. They blindfolded him and struck him and said, "Prophesy." And the guards greeted him with blows.
While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the high priest's maids came along. Seeing Peter warming himself, she looked intently at him and said, "You were with the Nazarene, Jesus." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you are talking about." So he went out into the outer court. Then the cock crowed. The maid saw him and began again to say to the bystanders, "This man is one of them." Once again, he denied it. A little later, the bystanders said to Peter once more, "Surely you are one of them, for you too are a Galilean." He began to curse and to swear, "I do not know this man about whom you are talking." And immediately a cock crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the word that Jesus had said to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." He broke down and wept.
As soon as morning came, the chief priests with the elders and the scribes, that is the whole Sanhedrin, held council. They bound Jesus and led him away and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate questioned him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" He said to him in reply, "You say so." The chief priests accused him of many things. Again, Pilate questioned him, "Have you no answer? See how many things they accuse you of." Jesus gave him no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed.
Now when he came of the feast, he used to release to them one prisoner whom they requested. A man called Barabbas was then in prison, along with the rebels who had committed murder in a rebellion. The crowd came forward and began to ask him to do for them as he was accustomed. Pilate answered, "Do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" For he knew that it was out of envy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate again said to them in reply, "Then what do you want me to do? The man you call the King of the Jews?" They shouted again, "Crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Why, what evil has he done?" They only shouted louder, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and after he had Jesus scourged, handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is, the praetorium, and asked the whole court. They clothed him in purple, and weaving a crown of thorns, placed it on him. They began to salute him with, "Hail, King of the Jews," and kept striking his head with a reed and spitting upon him. And they knelt before him in homage, and when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak, dressed him in his own clothes, and led him out to crucify him. They pressed into his service a passerby, Simon the Cyrenian, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross.
They brought him to the place of Golgotha, which is translated place of the skull. They gave him wine drugged with myrrh, but he did not take it. Then they crucified him and divided his garments by casting lots to see what each would take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." With him, they crucified two revolutionaries, one on his right and one on his left. Those passing by reviled him and said, "Aha, you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days? Save yourself by coming down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests and the scribes mocked him among themselves and said, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of the Jews, come down to the cross so that we all may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also abused him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And at 3 o'clock, Jesus cried in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is translated, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of the bystanders who heard it said, "Look, he is calling Elijah." One of them ran, soaked a sponge in wine, and put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see if Elijah is going to come down." Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. For those of you who can, please kneel.
The veil of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. When the centurion who stood facing him saw how he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of younger James and Joses, and Salome. These women had followed him when he was in Galilee and ministered to him. There were also many other women who had come up to him in Jerusalem. When it was already evening, since it was the day of preparation, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a distinguished member of the council, who was himself awaiting the kingdom of God, came and courageously went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was amazed that he was already dead. He summoned the centurion and asked if Jesus had already died. And when he learned of it from the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. Having bought a linen cloth, he took him down, wrapped him in the linen cloth, and laid him in a tomb that had been hewn out of a rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joses watched where he was laid.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good evening. For those of you who are visiting our parish here at South Pasadena, we welcome you. And we're entering the Holy Week, the celebration of our faith. I don't know about you. I've studied this scripture I've been ordained for almost 10 years, and the seminary studied it for 5 years. Every Holy Week, when we read or hear this gospel story, there's something happens inside me. There's something not really that comfortable. I become quiet inside. Because I think what struck me with this particular gospel is not just the death of Christ, but the grief that the people around Jesus experienced during this time. Imagine this. The people and the surrounding of Christ, this passion of Christ, like a storm, violent. I can hear everything on everybody yelling, but yet Christ is subdued and quiet. Why is that? Grief does it to us. We become silent when we experience losses and separation, disappointments, frustrations. And I'm going to suggest and invite you. You heard the gospel or the passion of Christ. Can you pick one character that you can relate to? Are you Mary Magdalene? Or are you the disciples who were sleeping when Jesus was praying? Were you, or can you be, the Mother of God? You know what I learned about this passion of Christ, and also with our Christian faith? We accompany each other through this journey. I asked you 5 weeks ago at the beginning of Lent, can you accompany Christ this Lent? We are used to Christ accompanying us in our lives, but us, a human person, a human being, can I accompany Christ this week for his passion, so that this passion is meaningful and also will help other people who are suffering? Whatever your frustrations in life, whatever your anger, sadness, loneliness, or even separation and death, let it sit with you this week with the grace of God to carry you through this, and offer it to God this week. We have so many opportunities this week to come here at our church, a place of worship. I invite you to be quiet. I know it's hard for me to be quiet. Marlon cannot be, just be quiet even for a minute. But this week, what I can say is, be mindful of what you do and what you say and what you feel, and connect it to God, who is our image and likeness. If you follow the basketball, the March Madness, we have the new American sweetheart. Do you know who that person is? Sister Jean from Chicago. Finally, last night, Loyola of Chicago in the Final Four. I'm not saying because I came from Chicago, but hey, why not? Why not celebrate? I learned this and watching her. The players said to her, "You are our lucky charm." But you know what? It is. But more so, Sister Jean, the 98-year-old nun sitting in a wheelchair, accompanying the players outside and inside the court. It's the same thing I asked you this question. Can you accompany Christ? If Sister Jean can do it, we can too here at South Pasadena. Who are you going to accompany this year or this Lent? Or can you accompany yourself to the cross of Christ? In the story, remember in the gospel story when the disciples were on the boat and the storm came and Jesus said to the storm, "Be quiet." And I think for all of us, we can learn a lot from that. We can be quiet so we can hear God's voice. And one story I'm going to leave you. Last week, we were in Anaheim for the religious congress where a lot of Catholics, Disneyland for Catholics last week. And you know, there's a ministry there that it's good, but a ministry that's not spoken a lot. It's the ministry of the Holy Family Boys or Boy Scouts who accompany those people who cannot walk, the mobility team. I see them every day for 3 days, pushing and pushing men and women. Some were angry. Can you go faster? Can you go this and this and that? But you know what I learned and I watched? The boys were just quietly saying, I can do this and I can push you. Accompaniment to their needs and to their lives. For us today, I'm gonna also invite you, if you have friends and families who you think needs a little encouragement, Catholics or non-Catholics, invite them to our celebration and let this celebration speak to you, not just by words, but your sight, our smell, and our being. Because in a way, we are connected with one God, which is Christ. Let Christ be born, let Christ be resurrected in our hearts, not just this week, but every day. So, happy Holy Week. God bless us all.